Our scripture for this week, coming from 1 John 4, verses 1 through 4, in essence tells us that not only is God with us, but if we're Christians, God is in us, and He is greater than the one that's in the world. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. In the first part of this, John talks to them about the miraculous age that they were living in, where they had the spiritual powers that the Holy Spirit gave, and they were supposed to test someone who prophesied, for example, and claimed that it was God speaking through them. They could test those things by seeing whether that spirit that was in that person confessed Jesus Christ. Because we know during that time as well, not only was the Holy Spirit helping people to have these miraculous abilities, but there was a time of demon possession as well. In fact, when Paul and Silas got to Philippi in the book of Acts, they found there a young girl who had a spirit of divination, and she was going around saying all sorts of things and making a lot of money, telling the future and things like that. Well, there, we know that Jesus cast out demons. We know that these things were going on at that time, and so He tells them about those things and lets them know how to find out. Now, I know we don't have those miraculous type things going on today. But you know, there's still, in the sense of a spirit or an attitude about people, there's people who won't confess Jesus as the Christ, and there's people that do. And we know that those who won't confess that, they're not really, no matter what they may say otherwise, they're not trying to follow God. Now, of course, we know that not everyone even that does confess that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, not every one of those people is doing what God wants them to do and is right. But we can know for sure if someone will not confess that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, that person is a deceiver. They're a liar. And the truth is not in them. But then He says to the Christians, you are of God, little children. Now, He's not talking about literally little children. He often referred to the other Christians. John was getting old by this time. And of course, God our Father considers us His little children as well. And so John looked at the Christians and he said, you little children, God's little children, you are of God. You have overcome them. How can we overcome the world today? How can we overcome all the lies, all the false teaching, all of the atheism and humanistic and just worldliness that Satan has pervaded our society and the whole world with? How can we do that? Well, they did it, and we can do it the same way. He says, you have overcome them because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And I've seen a little bumper sticker, a little saying on the sign sometimes or something like that, that says, God plus one is a majority. Well, that's almost true. You see, God's the majority. The only question is whether you're going to vote with Him or not. That's your choice. But God's already won. He's already overcome. The only question is, are you going to overcome with Him, or are you going to be overcome by Him? Those are our two choices. There's no third choice. There's no neutrality. You know, in wars, there are often countries will say, we're not going to get involved. We're going to stay neutral. Switzerland has made a habit of that. In all the world conflicts, they just say, we're going to stay out of it. And they've gotten wealthy doing that because both sides bank with them. You know, but they we're not going to get involved. We're going to stay neutral. But you know, in the battle between God and Satan, there is no neutral. You've got to choose whether you're going to be with God and He's going to be in you, or whether you're going to be with the devil. And the fact of the matter is that most people in our world have made that decision by default. In other words, they didn't actively choose. They just went with the flow. Any of you who've ever used, whether it's a cell phone or a computer or anything, there comes on it something that's the default. When you get a phone, a cell phone, it has a ring tone. That's the default. Now you can change it to be a different ringtone if you want. If you don't like that and you want something different, you can change that. But that is the, it just comes that way. And so people who get a new cell phone and do not actively choose their own ringtone, guess what they get? They get the one that came with the phone. Some of you may have done that. You may say, well, I'm not going to take the trouble to change that. So it's just, that's the way it is. You get the one, that one by default. Unfortunately, see, in our society, in our world, we have to actively choose God. If we don't choose God, then by default, we'll choose the devil. And so many people have done just that. But we are not to be of that group of people. We are the ones who are to actively choose to be with God and to have Him in us and with us every step of the way in our lives. He is greater. Of course He's greater. He created it all. The Creator, the Maker, is always greater than the thing that was created or made. That's just the way, that's a logical law. Someone cannot create something that's greater than they are. It's not possible. He is greater than all. And His power, His strength is for His children. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28-31, Isaiah records, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the young shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail and fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like the eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Now, we know good and well Isaiah is not talking about physically. Becoming a Christian does not somehow change when you get out of breath if you're trying to run a marathon. He said, well, I became a Christian yesterday, so I'm going to go run a marathon tomorrow, and I'll win because God's going to give me the... No, it doesn't work that way. He's not talking about physical strength. He's talking about spiritual stamina, spiritual power, spiritual strength. Unfortunately, sometimes people don't accept that power. They don't take advantage of that power. Imagine, if you will, the lights go out. The power goes out. And so we say, well, you know, we'll go ahead and turn off all the switches, since the power's out anyway, right? And then suppose, just a couple of minutes later, after we've turned out all the switches, the power comes back on. we've got the switch off. The lights don't come on because we've got the switch off. You see, God has the power, and He's willing to give that strength and that power to those who are weak, to those who have no might. He's willing to give it to anyone that will wait on Him. He's willing to renew our strength. He's willing to give us whatever we need. But too many times we got the switch off. And so all this power is coming right there, but we can't use any of it. You know, all the outlets in the wall in your house, they're totally useless until you plug something in. All that power, enough power to kill somebody in each one of those little sockets. But if you never plug anything into it, they might as well not be there. Are we willing to plug in to God's power? Or are we going to be those who just have our switch off so that we can't enjoy the power that He wants to give us? I want to notice, first of all, that God's power is the ultimate power. Now, we've mentioned this already, but we want to... John 4:4, He tells us, greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. He is greater. You know, a lot of people, a lot of Christians even, are scared of the devil. Oh, the devil. And I heard some of the time this morning about how wicked the world is, how wicked our society is, and it is. And so we're scared sometimes. But do we think God doesn't have power? Do we think the Lord's hand is shortened that it cannot save? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? We seem to think so sometimes. We've thrown in the towel. We've said, well, you know, Faraday, it's just too far gone. The people here are just too wicked. There's no hope. We can't. We'll keep coming to church, you know, and keep the doors open until we die, but we're not going to be able to get anybody else in here because they just aren't interested. They don't want to know. They don't want to hear. And it's true that some of them don't. But are we going to limit God's power? Romans 1:16, the gospel is the power of God. He has that power to save. Oh, will some people keep their switch off and not accept that power and therefore not be saved? Yes. Does that mean everybody will? And we know God's not going to force people to obey Him. That's true. But so many times, it's because we have our switch turned off that God's power can't flow to someone else. I don't know if you ever saw these things. When I was a kid in school, one of the science teacher brought this thing in. It's got the little blue electricity, and it's a glass ball, you know, and the little blue electricity shooting out all over it. And I don't know what they call those things, but they're kind of scary looking, but they won't really hurt you. You can put your hand on it, and those little blue electricities will come up to your fingers. And so you one person can put their hand on it, and then he can grab somebody else and grab some, and they can, and that a little bit of electricity, it's just a little static charge is all it is, will run down that line of people to the very last one. And then if somebody touches that last person, they'll get a little shock, you know, kind of like you did when you rub your feet on the carpet and then you zap somebody a little bit. You get that little static electricity charge. And it'll kind of zap with it. Ooh. But you know what? If there's a break in the chain of hands somewhere, if the third person down isn't holding their hand, guess what? That person at the end is not going to get that little zap, are they? The power is not going to make it through. God's power, and He has the power, and it's the ultimate power. There is nothing that can compare to Him in power. But He only uses that power through His Word and through us as His ambassadors, as His children, as His followers. There's the old song that says, God has no hands but our hands. He has no feet but our feet. He has no mouths but our mouths. He uses us to transmit His power to other people. And so guess what? If we've got our switch cut off, if we don't have that power coming into our lives, there's no way we can pass it on to somebody else. We're the break in the chain so many times. And we don't want to be that. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through 21. Paul writes there that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of His glory, of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. See, that's some power. There have been people like Alexander the Great who conquered the known world of his time. There have been nations like England who conquered countries on four continents. But you know, every one of those powers came and went, and the powers that now have the biggest influence, they're going to go away too. The United States reached the point of height and power and influence in the world, but it's going to decline. It's not going to be the end-all, be-all. There isn't one. God is the ultimate power. Because His power never ends. He never dies. He never gives it up. Every king, president, emperor, whatever ruler there is in a nation, they die. And somebody else takes the power they have. One nation rises up, but then they fall, and another nation takes the power they had. But not with God. He is eternal. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Not just in this world, but in eternity. See, that's power. That's real power. God's power is the ultimate power. But secondly, our faith should be in the power of God. We need to put our faith in God's power. He is powerful whether we believe it or not. But if we're going to get any benefits from it, we've got to believe it. Too many times we're like those folks came from third world to the modern world, and they stayed in a hotel, and they were amazed that there were faucets. You just turn that on and water, and they were from the deserty areas in Africa near the Sahara Desert. And they saw it, they turned that faucet on and the water would come out. And so when they were to go home, the one who had brought them and shown them all the marvels of the modern world was taking them back home, found them trying to take the faucets off the sinks and the showers and the tub, trying to take those faucets. He said, "What are you doing?" He said, "We need these faucets. When we get back to the desert, if we had these faucets, we'd just turn that on and water would come out." And of course, he had to explain to them, the only reason the water comes out is because it's hooked up to the source. But how many of us are dry taps? We're like a faucet that's not hooked up to the water supply. We can't be that way. We're cut off from the source of the power. And most of the time when we are cut off, it's because of a lack of faith in that power. We don't believe in it as we should. 1 Corinthians 2:5, your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. 1 John 5:4-5, John says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith." We sing that song, don't we? Faith is the victory. We've got to believe that. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? If we don't believe that having Jesus Christ in our lives is going to help us overcome the world, then we never will be able to overcome the world. We've got to believe in Him. We've got to believe that He has the power to overcome. So many times we try to put God in this little box and say, "Well, this is all God can do." Now, I know I'm not talking about the miracles of the first century. Sometimes people accuse it, "Well, y'all don't believe in miracles." I believe in all the miracles that are recorded in the Bible. And I believe, like John said, that there were many more that were done that weren't recorded. But I also know what the Bible teaches about those miracles, that they passed and that we don't have them today. But that doesn't mean I'm putting God in a box. He defined Himself that way. But what they don't realize is that God still has all His power, even if He doesn't use it miraculously, He can still use it through His providence. They're the ones limiting God. They say the only way God can do something is through a miracle. God does a lot of things without any miracles. Look at Esther. Wasn't a miracle anywhere in that book. She saved her whole nation. Wasn't a miracle. It was just God's providence working through someone who was willing to do what was right. And God can work through us if we're willing to do what's right. God's power is available to us. Ephesians 3:20 and 21. "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." You see, sometimes we try to limit God by what we think He can do. I was talking with the elders in Butler yesterday after the funeral was over. And we were talking about that very thing. We were talking about the woman who had died. She had been a worldly woman for many years of her life. Probably for 70 years of her life. She was out there in the world. She never denied it. She said, "When I was out there in the world, I was out there in the world." We were talking about it, and one of the elders told me, he said, "The first time I met her, I thought, she'll never be a Christian." See, that's why we don't get to decide. We look at people and we judge like Samuel was judging David and his brothers. We look at the outward appearance and we say, he looked at David and said, "That little fellow can't ever be a king." But that's the one God chose. There have been several cases of somebody looking at somebody and saying, "Well, that person will never obey the gospel. I'm not going to try to talk to them because they'll never listen." Oh, you God now? You deciding who's going to listen and who's not? No, that's not our job. Remember the parable of the sower. We just sow the seed and let the seed fall where it may. That sower didn't say, "Well, that ground, that's hard ground. I'm not going to put any seed right there. Well, that ground, there may be some thorns come up over there. I'm not going to put any there. Oh, that ground over there, there's a few rocks. I'm not going to throw any over there." He just scattered the seed. And the seed that fell on the good ground, it grew. The seed that fell on the bad ground, it didn't grow. We throw the Word of God on everybody we come in contact with. Guess what? Somewhere, it's going to plant in their heart and start growing. But if we start picking and choosing, and I'm only going to plant one seed over here and one seed over there, that's no way to farm. You got to plant the seed everywhere. And maybe some places it won't come up, and maybe some places it will. Some places you didn't think it would, it might grow. Just like that. God's power is available to us, and He can do more than we can imagine. Colossians 1, 9-11. Paul talks about giving thanks and asking they be filled with the knowledge of His will, that they may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. We'll be strengthened with all might. You know, when Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, he didn't mean he could pick up a 10-ton truck and throw it across the highway. That's not what he was talking about. He didn't mean he could run 4 marathons back to back. That's not what he was talking about. He was talking about spiritually he could do the things that God commanded him to do because of Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1:11 and 12. Therefore we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to have faith in His power to work in us. God's power works in our weakness. See, that's the place we really limit Him and say, well, you know, I'm really strong in this point, but boy, I'm weak over here, and so God can't do anything with that. That's the very thing God works with. What was Moses' biggest complaint toward God when God called him? Oh, but Lord, my mouth, I've got a stammering tongue. I can't talk good. Look at me, and what did God say? Who made your mouth? And what did Moses go to? Moses became the leader of a nation. Man who couldn't talk. Was shy. Was scared to speak up or had some speech impediment. I don't know whether, you know, what his real problem was that was keeping him from wanting to do it, but God's power worked in his weakness. Amazingly so. Saved his whole nation. 2 Corinthians 12:9 and 10. Paul prayed to get his thorn taken out of his flesh, but God said, My grace is sufficient for you, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When we're weak enough to recognize that we need God, that's when His power can work through us. When we think we're strong enough to do it on our own, He can't work with us. He can't use us because we're trying to do it ourselves instead of trusting Him to do it through us. We've got to take advantage. God's power works in our weaknesses in 2 Corinthians 4:7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You remember Gideon? 300 men. You think those 300 men were so mighty that they defeated that army? No, that was the whole point. That's why God sent 95% of that army back home. 99% of them. I mean, He sent all of them back home. Said, I just want this little group because I don't want you to say it was by my power or my might that I did it. I want you to know God wanted them to know that He was the one that did it. I did this, not you. God uses people who are weak enough and feeble enough to lean on Him. Try to stand on your own two feet. And see, that's one of the problems that we have in America. We are a nation of independent, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps kind of people. And there are some benefits to that in many worldly ways and in many earthly endeavors. But in spiritual matters, Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the ones who realize they're not all that. That it's God that has the power. And we've got to be like that. Let Him work on us and work with us and use us as a tool in His hand. We must take advantage of the power of God. 2 Timothy 3:1 through 5 says, But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. And he lists several things. Some of them we might, oh, well, that's not so bad. And other things, oh, that's horrible. But he lists them all in there together. He chunks them all in there and he says, these are these people. They're wicked people. And he says in verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. From such people turn away. You know, when you see a model of something where it looks like the real thing, but it doesn't work, it's just a model, that's a little disappointing, isn't it? You thought it was going to work. You thought it was going to be like it ought to be. But no. He used to put together those little plastic snap together model cars, you know. I was always disappointed. There wasn't an engine in there. There wasn't even a little motor to make it go, you know. I'd much rather have a remote control car. You know, that thing would actually go. That little model, it just, you know, it looked like the car. Smaller size, but it just sat there on the shelf. Some of them, the little plastic wheels were molded in there, and the wheels wouldn't even roll. You couldn't even push it. But, they were stuck, glued on, you know, or snapped on, and they wouldn't turn even. But how many times do we have a form of godliness? We sit in church, we open the songbook, we open the Bible, we look, it looks like God ought to be working in us, but we're denying His power. We're not allowing Him to use His power in our lives. 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul tells Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We've got to accept God's power. Ephesians 6:10 through 17 talks about the power that God has and His armor that we can put on to be able to withstand, have the power and the strength. And then we want to notice that God's power does not necessarily protect us from all problems, but it brings us through them. 2 Corinthians 4:8 through 10, Paul says, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. So we're going through all sorts of problems and difficulties and pain and hurts. God's power didn't stop that from happening. Didn't keep them from being pressed on every side. Didn't keep them from being perplexed. Didn't keep them from being persecuted or struck down. But it kept them from being crushed and in despair and forsaken and destroyed. We gain strength through the difficulties that we go through if we allow God to work through us. 2 Corinthians 6:4 through 10. Again, he lists a bunch of things. Talks about tribulation and needs and distresses, stripes, imprisonments, tumults, labor, sleeplessness, fasting, purity, knowledge, and long suffering and kindness of the Holy Spirit by sincere love. They were able to overcome those difficult things, those problems. They were able to make it. I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn to humbly obey. I asked for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything I had hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all men most richly blessed. You know, it's amazing sometimes the things we ask for. If we look back on our lives at the things we've asked God for, we should be so thankful that He didn't always give us everything we asked for. Aren't we glad He's wiser? He knows better. But His power will help us through the difficult times if we'll depend on it, if we'll take advantage of it being there and being available for us. There are two types of strength. There's the strength of the wind that sways the mighty oak tree. There's the strength of the oak that withstands the power of the wind. There's the strength of a locomotive that pulls the heavy train across the bridge. There's the strength of the bridge that holds the locomotive and the train up. One is active strength. The other is passive strength. One is the power to keep going. The other is the power to keep still. One is the strength by which we overcome, and the other is the strength by which we endure. But both of those sources of strength have to come from God in our lives. Philippians 4:11-13. Paul says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." He says, I can spiritually make it through the physical hardships and the physical hard times, because I know this life's not what it's all about. It's all about God. And He's greater than our physical ailments and weaknesses. Are you letting Him work in your life? Are you taking advantage of the power that He's provided? Or are you like the fellow who lives in the house with the power running to it, but he won't turn on the light switches and he won't plug anything in? Are we afraid we're going to deplete God's power? I might take too much of it. No. God's power is infinite. There's a word that's used to describe that. Omnipotent. All-powerful. Lord God Almighty. The Bible uses that phrase several times. Almighty. You can't deplete His power. In fact, the more of His power you use, the more there will be there for you to use. See, it's not like electricity. If enough people plug into the electricity, the power plant is going to go down. It's just not, you know, everybody turns everything on all at once, it'd just be too much for the power to supply. Yeah. But God's power is not like that. There's no limit. Except how we limit ourselves. Plug into His power. Turn the switch on in your life. Let Him have control. Let Him drive. Let Him push and pull and move you where you need to be in your life. Don't keep fighting against Him. This morning, if you need to respond to His invitation, maybe you've been fighting against Him too long. Maybe you've tried to resist His power in your life. Maybe you've shut off your switches. Maybe you've never plugged in to the main source. You know, sometimes in a house that They get the wiring all hooked up, they put the switches in, they put the light fixtures up, they even put bulbs in the lights and all those things, but they hadn't put the meter in yet. And nothing works. But if they'll just put that meter, if they'll just connect it, then all of a sudden everything springs to life. Are you ready to connect your life to the power of God and truly have life? Up to this point, you've just been existing, going day by day, trudging through, not experienced His power. If you need to respond at this time, please do so as you stand and sing.